Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name football, of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches, and kids can grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast.
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast, week 2 preview. We actually have some games to talk about, not just FCS garbage for the most part. But as always, MWCConnection.com. That is our little space in the web. Facebook, still chugging along at Mountain West Connection. Twitter, you guessed it, MWC Connection. I am the guy who did the show last week by himself. Did okay, I think.
I haven't had a chance to hear it, but I'm sure it was fine.
And with, I'm sure it was Matt Kennerly, who's joining me right now after his long drive back from Nebraska.
Yes.
Long drive.
Yeah, don't ever, just a word of advice to all of you drivers out there, don't ever drive, like, on the shoulders.
Did you do that?
No, but there was, like, 5 car accidents on the I-15 just past Las Vegas between, like, Las Vegas and coming into like Barstow, right? So like we were at a standstill for about 3 hours trying to get to Barstow. Right. Like stop and go traffic for like 100 like 50 miles or something like that. But there were people who were like literally getting out of the lanes and going onto the shoulders. And then people who were like going beyond the shoulders into the actual desert to get around people.
Oh my.
Don't ever do that.
I bet there's at least 3 accidents based off of that.
Yeah, probably. It wouldn't surprise me if they were just making the situation worse.
It sucks to wait, but just wait.
Yes.
There's a reason there's, 3 lanes on that highway, right? Is it 4 lanes?
It was 3.
3, okay. It's tough. Holiday weekend, going back to California from Vegas. Well, I guess you're by way of your Lincoln, but... So overall, was your trip pretty good? Like when you made it to Lincoln, or when you got to hang out for, how long were you there for? Just the day, essentially.
I think I was in Lincoln for about 14 hours.
Oh man, not enough.
I think it was. You know, the people in Nebraska are very friendly. Like I had talked to some people at coordination, tried to get a sense of like what to do in town, like what to expect when we get there. And everybody kind of universally said that Nebraska fans are some of the nicest people you're ever going to meet. And, you know, if you're a Wyoming fan going to the game this weekend in Lincoln, I would expect that you'd kind of receive a lot of the same kind of reception that I did. You know, I got press credentials for the game. Some of you might have seen me post a couple pictures on Twitter and live tweet that whole game. But, you know, trying to find the media window or whatever was a little bit of an ordeal, but everybody I talked to was super friendly, super helpful, finally helped me get to where I'm going. And yeah, like everybody in town is just they were very hyped for football, obviously.
Yep.
Opener. And yeah, home opener especially. And you know, even with a rainstorm that had rolled through town, like it didn't really dampen their enthusiasm at all. Like I was very impressed. And you know, even though this is the end of the 3-game series that they have with the Cornhuskers, you know, I wouldn't mind if they agreed to another trip down there.
Yeah, it seems so. I know a few people who went to, or one guy, he kind of a same story in that where he covered BYU forever, like for a long time. And if you go to BYU game, it's a pretty good experience. I've been to plenty for mostly work things, but I would say it's somewhat similar to Nebraska because it's always a sellout. Everybody's friendly, pretty cool environment. Not the same, but maybe a little bit below. And he's back in town. He went to, I think it was the Lincoln Star, but he's now back. He works on my radio show a little bit that I'm on. And he always tells random stories, especially during the offseason, nothing to really chat about sometimes. But apparently people were, when he came back into work on the following Monday, were like, so how was it? How was your first football game in Nebraska? How was it? Like, expected him to be overjoyed by this amazing experience for going to a football game. And I think they're disappointed of him saying, it was nice, like another football game. They're nice people, pretty good crowd, good crowd. Like, they expect him to think it was the greatest thing ever, like they invented football, like they're Rutgers or something.
Well, you know, because, you know, some of you out there might already know that I'm working on a manuscript for grad school about Fresno State's football season, right? And so I went out there to be able to write an essay about it at some point. And, you know, to me, like having been there, I feel like more than any other city in the heartland, Lincoln might be the one city that kind of encapsulates the perfect marriage between, like, you know, college football and what we think of the heartland, basically.
Makes sense, yeah.
Because, like, you know, all across the state, you would see, like, the American flag, and then below that, the Nebraska flag with the block N, you know what I mean? And you didn't see anybody on game day who wasn't wearing some combination of red and white. And that was really something that I had never seen before. And it was very cool to see.
Well, you're also in an area where Fresno, there's no pro towns. You have, what do you have there? Raiders, San Jose's nearby. You have the 49ers. You have the Giants, EA. So it's like just a hodgepodge for them, kind of, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's also true. And that's even what, you know, some people that I talked to, that my girlfriend talked to, had said that, you know, because they don't have any other immediate outlets, they pour all of their enthusiasm, all of their passion into the university. But still, I think it's a really fascinating thing that a lot of programs like Fresno State and probably a few others in the Mountain West could learn from.
You would think so. So you think that'd be like Las Vegas, maybe, because they are the team.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Good experience. That's I've never been there. I've been to a couple places, but nothing like that. I've been to Fiesta Bowl. That was pretty cool. That's obviously way different, but yeah, nothing really like that. I guess just Utah BYU. Oh, no, let me rephrase. I have gone to a, not to make this the road show, but Texas A&M in a couple of those games. That's a pretty crazy experience. But then again, it's not the same as Nebraska, where it's Huskers or nothing, essentially. You either like Huskers or you don't. And if you don't, you probably, you're like, oh, indifferent, not like you don't like them. It's one of those things. It's like, I'm just not a sports fan, but cool, they win, awesome, but they don't really care.
I have
so will this essay or some sort might be made available public once you're done with all this stuff?
Well, you know, fingers crossed. The best case scenario is to make a book out of it, so look for that in 2018 or 2019.
Sorry, say that again. My headphones must have came out. Repeat that.
Oh, I said in best case scenario is I get a book deal out of this.
Hey. All right, well, I guess let's get to the games, because our show last time, we appreciate the thousands. Yes, I'm not being facetious. Thousands I could listen to our show last time, our preview show. So thank you very much for that. And let's get to Nebraska-Wyoming, game one. Perfect. Talk about your trip, and now let's roll into Nebraska game.
Yeah.
So this game kicks early kickoff. So, yeah, did you catch any of that Wyoming game last week or see the highlights of it at all?
I did see some of the highlights the day after, yes.
That, me too. I didn't stay up here. That final play was nuts.
Does that count as a quick turnaround with this kickoff on Saturday?
A little bit. Could be exhausted debating on watching that game, because I think I did a pretty good job disguising. I was at Salt Lake Comic Con all day Saturday, then caught up on games in the late evening hours. Mm-hmm. And so I was debating on watching that game, because it's supposed to start at 8:30 p.m. I'm like, that's not too late. It's okay. I'll watch that in the BYU game versus Arizona. Then I'm like, weather delay. Oh, okay. Lightning delay. I'm just sticking with the BYU game around midnight. Oh, that game must have just got started like an hour before. I'm like, oh, forget it. I'll just see what happens in the morning. And apparently triple OT beating a good NIU team. We might have to start the bowling pun soon. Soon.
Remember, minimum of 3 wins before we start talking about it.
Is that what it was? We settled on 3?
That was what I settled on.
I'm there with you. 3 wins. It's one more win than they expected to have because no, isn't NIU the haven't they won like been the MAC title game like 4 or 5 years in a row, something like that?
I believe it was 6 years in a row.
But, 6 years in a row.
I mean, yeah, give credit to Wyoming. They had a little more explosiveness on offense than I anticipated that they might. Obviously, Josh Allen was kind of a revelation, both with his legs and his arm. I know he scored the game-winning touchdown on the ground. But, you know, this is, I think, the Wyoming offense at its best is what you saw against Northern Illinois. They were totally balanced. I think they were right around 250 yards rushing and receiving, if I recall, and passing, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, they're pretty balanced, yeah.
They had their top 2 receivers over 100 yards in Tanner Gentry and Jake Mulhart.
Yeah, seeing Mulhart was a big deal. That was seeing another receiver step up. Could make this offense much better. Even what didn't we say in our preview? Like, if they get a passing game, Brian Hill could actually be a better running back or better player.
Yeah, and I mean, Hill wasn't especially explosive in this game. I think his long run was only 13 yards. But, you know, the guys behind him were able to pick up big chunks too. Like Sean Wick had a 10-yard run. You know, Austin Conway on his lone carry had 22 yards. So they found some big playability through both facets of their offense. And that's really going to be critical to, you know, be able to count upon again against this Nebraska defense. You know, I saw them in live last Saturday. So I can tell you that, you know, at a minimum, Brian Hill's probably going to have some tough sledding ahead of him.
Let me ask you this, though, because you saw, like I said, you saw him in person. For 3 quarters, this game was 21-10. It was a close game. Really could have been 21-14 since they settled for a field goal at the end of the half and had a catchable pass as a tad too high to Aaron Peck. But why is this game a 24-point line? That seems way too much.
I mean, some of it, I think, has to do with the fact that they were really able to force Fresno State to be one-dimensional. And I think that if you can force this Wyoming team to be one-dimensional, like if they could shut down Brian Hill, which some defenses were able to do, you know, last year, that puts a lot of pressure on Josh Allen. And is he going to be able to find those big plays down the field if they're really keying in on bringing him down? To me, I think that's where the game is going to turn one way or the other.
But if the passing game is as good as we might think it could be, then because how would you rate the? I know it's one game. We're lucky Fresno and Wyoming both played an FBS team last week, unlike some other schools that we're still waiting to see more on. But Allen threw against a decent defense. So I'm thinking if they sit down Brian Hill, I'd still give Wyoming a chance to move the ball okay with the way we saw the quarterback and receivers play last week.
Yeah, I mean, some of it, I think one of the places that Wyoming could really take advantage of Nebraska is I wasn't terribly impressed by the Huskers on special teams last week, especially on punt returns. Obviously, they're in the middle, you know, they're replacing Sam Fultz, who, if you haven't checked out the memorial that Nebraska did in last week's game, you really should find that video. But, you know, the guy that they're replacing him with, Caleb Lightborn, is a true freshman. And he had kind of mixed results in the opener. He had one punt that was blocked that Fresno State was able to turn into some points. And his, you know, punting as a whole was, you know, okay. And when you have a guy like Austin Conway back there returning kicks, returning punts especially, I think that's the kind of thing where if they can find one big play and really tilt the field advantage in their favor, that's, I think, something else to watch in this game is whether they can do that.
I'm wondering, no, that's a good point, special teams. I'm wondering, so I'm looking at the box score. Nebraska has like the, not to be rude, but it seems like the most boring 43 points ever.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong. They kind of picked up, you know, the majority of their big plays later in the second half. But again, I think that they showed me a couple of things which Wyoming's going to have to be ready for. One, they can run the ball. You know, they had, you know, Divine Ozigbo last week who ripped off, you know, several 10-yard carries, ended up with more than 100 yards. And even the guys behind him, like Thomas Newby and even Armstrong himself, a quarterback, you know, there weren't that many design runs that had a lot of success, but, you know, they didn't necessarily bring down the quarterback all that much in Laramie last week. And if they can't bring him down, he can make plays with his feet as well. So that's something to keep an eye on as well.
So I think Wyoming can cover this game because Nebraska, they're... Because here, okay, if you would tell me right now, who would you say is better, Wyoming or Fresno State?
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, like, to compare. Like, they both do different things a little bit.
I mean, overall, I guess I'd have to give the nod to Wyoming right now.
Okay. I kind of agree with you because I think Wyoming, even if they slow down Brian Hill, I think they'll still have probably a bit more successful running the ball because we'll talk about it later, but Fresno State's running game needs some work.
Yeah.
I don't think Wyoming's going to win, but I think they'll put this will be similar to the Fresno game where, because Fresno, what I saw too, like Aaron Peck and guys were getting open downfield. Like there were some passes that could have been thrown a bit better, especially that touchdown one just an inch lower at the end of the half. What could have been a TD, I thought. But Wyoming has just as good of receivers as Aaron Peck, if not better. And I'm wondering if that's one way Wyoming can expose a little bit Nebraska. If Josh Allen, because Josh Allen did pretty good, 19 and 29 for 245 against Northern Illinois defense is usually pretty good. It will be much tougher than Nebraska. But I'm wondering if having multiple receivers go downfield, I think the passing game, like you said, if they stop the running game, I think the passing game will still have success. But I think this is going to be one of those games will be an upset alert throughout most of the game. But I think Nebraska will probably win by maybe 10 to 14 points, but it'll not be made easy.
Yeah, I kind of see this a similar kind of result. I think they'll probably cover. What'd you say the spread was?
It's 24 and a half.
That does seem like a lot. One thing that I think could potentially turn the game in their favor, one of the things Fresno State wasn't able to do was, you know, turn the turnover battle in their favor. You know, the Cowboys only forced one turnover last week off of a fumble, but if they can stifle the run and force Tommy Armstrong to beat him with his arm, you know, he's kind of error prone when he's not using the run to set up the play action, which was kind of what they got away with last week. They didn't necessarily make him work too hard. And I think if they can force him to try to make plays, especially down the field, I think Wyoming is up to the task for that. But as of right now, I think it'll probably be a comfortable Nebraska win.
That makes sense. Hey, let's because there's a lot of news around this game, I want to jump toward the game of the week, I think. Well, maybe. But we'll get to Georgia. Actually, yeah, I want to skip this. We'll get to Georgia State Air Force momentarily. I'm very, very, very excited for Utah State at USC. Much more than I thought it would have been even last week. Couple reasons why. Well, if anybody noticed what happened against Alabama, they just got embarrassed. And 52-6, I believe?
It was.
And a couple things about this game. Here's one thing I want to mention, just because there's a lot of news surrounding it. You've heard Steve Sarkisian's heading to Alabama, right?
Yes, I have.
Let me just say this. Clay Helton's not going to be the coach in 3 years, I'm going to say, if that. But I'm just on ESPN. They have like the little updates on the side, not tweets, but kind of like snapshots of stuff. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you Steve Sarkisian gave input how to beat Alabama or beat USC. Because Clay Helton, quote, because he's asked if he thought Sark gave him help against USC at Alabama game. He's like, well, I don't think I'm just glad he's in a place where he's getting the opportunity what he loves.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, geez. But then we have some more. I don't know. We're recording this earlier than normal. It's Tuesday night, so this news might change. But we'll get to this suspension momentarily. We'll just mention it now. You have Jabari Ruffin. If you haven't seen it, he basically gave if you know what Albert Haynesworth did a couple years ago with a helmetless player. Forget what team it was against, but this is basically the same thing. Let me put my hand down to help you. Or no, that's the wrong guy. He basically turns around, gives like a heel kick in between the legs. Yeah. Is that accurate description?
You're not allowed to do that on a football field.
Negative. So he got suspended for one half.
Come on.
We shouldn't be surprised, but really? Because normally in basketball, like college basketball, a few strikes him, but that's minimum one game, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe it is one game minimum. Let's see. But here's the reason I bring that up. He'll be out for a half. But then Juju Smith, their wide receiver, got shut down versus Alabama. Apparently him, as well as it's an unnamed defensive player, got in a fight at USC practice, had to be broken up, both separated across the field. Clay Helton and OC T. Martin had to talk to Juju Smith to bring him back to practice. So things aren't going well down in LA for USC.
Not a great start to the season, which I think kind of plays into Utah State's favor because they're coming in to the Coliseum without much to lose, really, and everything to gain.
So, yeah, things are kind of going a bit awkward there. This game, do you have the Pac-12 Network, Matt?
I think I do. I'm not totally certain because I don't actually have a cable box. I'm one of those cord cutters.
The weirdos.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I did find I should have done an article on this to start the season. I'm going off topic here, but Stephen Godfrey did an article, which is like how to watch the games without really having a traditional cable package.
Mm-hmm.
So you got PlayStation View, which looks pretty enticing to me. I would get Sling if my internet was better, but I'm not going to risk that. I guess View does the same thing, but what I was thinking about the other day, because if I look at my cable, because I have DirecTV, and you have DVR cost, like $10 a month, really? You'll have like HD cost. I'm like, why are you paying for HD still? Why is that $10 a month? All these receivers are extra money. So what I found out a way, if I want to do this, which I probably could, is people can still have, it's basically the login, because if you have DirecTV or UVerse or Comcast, you can log in and watch AMC. You can log in and watch ESPN, Fox Sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was debating, like, this could be a good tip if somebody wants to actually get to, like, CBS Sports Network. You can't get unless you subscribe to something. What my next venture could be, or thinking about doing, is why don't have a DVR box, don't have an HD box, and you can get over the air if you want, really, for HD or Chromecast it. You could literally save $30 a month by not having, just like going with the basic box, but just use your Chromecast login to get HD for FX or ESPN or whatever channel. So. Just a PSA. I don't know. I just brought that up because I thinking about that the other day. I could save like almost $40 a month if I did that.
We care about our listeners. That's why
we do. And so that's just another idea because I know people are debating on what they're doing, and I just kind of think about that. I get you an HD antenna, just get a $30 Chromecast, and just stream every show you watch. And I know I fill up my DVR, so that's part of the reason I may not do this. But if you keep up on TV shows and don't have too many to watch, you could log in and watch all those all the time. So that's your PSA for the show. Save you some money. But regardless, I don't have the Pac-12 Network, and I'm upset about it. Because, well, I am. I'd want to watch this game. I probably could. I don't work Saturday. I was going to say go to my office, but that's too far to drive, and I'm not going to be up there, so it's not worth it. But do you know what the line is on this game, Matt?
No.
Are you aware? It's 16.5 for the Trojans at home.
After that opening performance?
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of surprises me because I think that Utah State could possibly dictate the way this game goes with their running game. You know, obviously, Devontae Mays had himself a very good game last week against Weber State, going over 200 yards, averaging nearly 12 yards carry.
It was the fourth best rushing performance ever by Utah State running back.
Yeah, and even the guys behind him were able to rip off, you know, big plays. You know, Justin Hervey, Tony Lindsay. And to me, you know, if you have that advantage, it wasn't like USC was, you know, lighting the world on fire being able to stop Alabama's running game last week. And, you know, granted, Alabama's the best team in the country for a reason, but, you know, they gave up 242 yards on the ground to the Crimson Tide last weekend.
Breaking in a new running back as well.
Yeah, so the question I would have is it really that unreasonable to think that Utah State couldn't at least top like 200 yards at maybe 4.5 yards carry? Because I think if they do that, and, you know, being able to keep the chains moving kind of like they did last week, I think that's kind of the recipe for the recipe for success.
They could, but looking at the numbers more closely, Alabama they ran the ball well enough, 45 for 242. After, like, besides that, like, looking individually, like, they had Damien Harris, 138, but he had a 73-yard touchdown run. Outside of that, I don't know what his other longs were, but going by personal longs, they had Darius Smith for 17 yards. Mm-hmm. So, Alabama just scored in many different ways, mostly in the air. They did have three on the ground as well, but they didn't just run over USC's rushing defense. Like, big plays were minimum. Like, if you look at Harris, he averaged 15.3 yards. Take away the 73-yarder, he is, 8 for 60? Still pretty good. What's that, 4.5, 6 yards a carry, 7 yards a carry?
Then
guys are averaging, like, Bo Scarborough, 11 carries, only 3.3. Jalen Harris, 3.6 yards per carry. Joshua Jacobs had 4 for 20. So, maybe we're not looking at that closely enough, but I think you're right that the running game will help Utah State immensely. But Alabama also didn't run crazy over this outside the one big play. They were just okay. They would have been 44 for like 150 on the ground. That's not that good if you take away the one long run. And so, but your point's valid. I just wanted to look further because I was the same opinion as you that Alabama just ran and ran and ran, but that wasn't necessarily the case. Alabama just used other ways to just curb stomp USC.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing I'd be interested in seeing is whether the Aggies can frustrate Max Brown as much as they really frustrated Jadrian Clark last week. You know, Clark was under 50%, and I believe Max Brown was also under 50%.
Just under.
And tied. You know, he didn't have any touchdowns. He had the one interception. It was kind of a regrettable day for your first college start, right?
Yeah, they still had Sam Arnold, who came in a little bit, but he went 4 of 8. Right now, I'm looking at the depth chart. It is Max Brown, the projected starter this week. So it looks like Clay Helton sticking with him.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, for a team that they should beat, you know, I think the defense acquitted themselves well by really dominating against the pass and the run. But I think to win this game, they really need to shut down Max Brown again.
Yeah, Juju Smith as well. Assuming, like I said, he may have some disciplinary issues, but saying USC suspended that one guy for a nut squash, a blatant, I doubt for a practice fight, Schutzer will be suspended at all for this game.
Yeah.
But if you have a fight week two, leading up to week two, like something's wrong with your program. Like there's issues there already. And I should bring up my favorite thing about the USC depth chart. Do you have that in front of you up?
No, I don't.
My favorite thing is that they've actually been upgraded from last couple years when me and Kirsten always joke about this. They have obviously position, number, name, class. They do list their major, and as you would expect, a lot of sociology, a lot of communications, no general studies. However, Twitter and now Instagram profiles are listed on the depth chart.
I kind of wish Mountain West teams would do that.
That would be helpful for what we do to follow what's going on, but it's like the most Hollywood thing to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've been doing that for a couple of years. So I still don't know a ton about Utah State because they beat Weber State. Great, whatever. You scored 45 points. You dominate. I guess it's better than last year when they snuck by Southern Utah. But do you think, if I give you a percentage, what odds are you giving Utah State to win this game outright?
Off the top of my head, I'd say maybe a 1 in 3 chance.
What about between 0 and Fresno State Las Vegas Bowl chance? Or outcome, I should say. Outcome.
4?
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Fresno State can be as high as you want for that loss. Or I'm just saying.
Because Kent Myers played well. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they didn't really have the explosiveness in the passing game that, you know, I'm sure some Aggies fans out there expected. You know, he only had 10 or 5 passes of more than 10 yards. They had only one play through the air of more than 20 yards. And I think, you know, getting blown out by the number one team in the country and facing, you know, an average to good Mountain West team are two totally different stories. You know, USC is still a team that has a lot of talent. And it's still the type of team where if Kent Myers isn't careful, a guy like Adoree Jackson could, you know, return an errant pass for a pick six. You know what I mean?
This is possibly their schedule just stacked. This is probably their easiest game on their schedule. Yeah, I don't know where you'd rank Colorado.
They're playing the most difficult schedule in football, USC is.
Yeah, they play Alabama, USU, and then obviously conference slate where they go to Stanford, to Utah, very difficult. To Washington, to UCLA, jeez, host Notre Dame. Like their easiest game, depends what you think about Cal or Colorado, but Utah State's that mix, and Utah State's a bowl team this year and was last year, and so I wonder if there's any look ahead because they got beat bad. Two options are going to happen in this game. They're just going to come out pissed and crush Utah State, which I wouldn't be overly surprised if that were to happen. But or they're going to look at like, oh, we got Stanford next week and we'll just cruise in this game and they might lose or get a lazy 21-20 victory or something. Regardless, I think this is going to be a single-digit outcome. And I know last time they played down in USC when Chucky Keaton was there, but I'm not going to predict the upset, but this is going to be USC is going to be sweating in this game late.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the kind of game where I said, and even in our Utah State preview, I think this is the kind of game where both defenses could really assert themselves. And so you mentioned something like a 21-20 game. It wouldn't surprise me if it were like 21-17. I still think USC, like I said, has a talent advantage that I would expect them to be able to take advantage of. I think they probably have a little more big play capability than Utah State does.
I agree.
And, you know, if it comes down to, you know, something on special teams, like a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown, you know, I know that USC has the guys who can make those kinds of plays. I'm not sure about Utah State. And I feel like something like that is going to be the difference.
That makes perfect sense. Here's one other quick bit of news. You shouldn't be surprised by this. You've heard about what's going on with Osa Massin at USC?
I believe so.
I'll still use the word alleged, but sexual assault is going on apparently with him. And also a Don Hill of USC. He's actually suspended this game. We already knew Messina most likely would, but Don Hill is now out officially. Neither will play against Utah State. And so it's a big loss because Messina is a really good linebacker, was going to see a lot of time, I think, start as well, I want to say. Mm-hmm. They returned to practice earlier today. This is Tuesday, but both are sitting out versus Utah State. So that's just something else. A few other playmakers not on the roster. So I really want to say Utah State victory, but I can't. I really want to, though. Unless, can I make this my stupid upset pick and say Utah State's going to win?
This is America. You can do what you want.
Exactly. That's my stupid upset pick. We didn't do it last week, so I'm going with Utah State over USC on the road.
All right, then.
Bring it, folks. Next game, Air Force, Georgia State, Campus Insider. I don't think it's a Twitter streaming game, but check out Campus Insider.
It is.
Noon local time. They're breaking out the shark teeth helmets.
Those are by far the best alternate uniforms I've ever seen.
And if people say no, I want to punch them in the face.
Like that alone probably moves the line by like a touchdown.
A touchdown? Just the gaze at the helmet? Do you know what the line is for this game anyways?
I do not.
Do you want to guess?
21?
Almost. 18.
Okay.
You would think it'd be 21 with those helmets, right?
It would be if it were me.
If it were you. But so I guess you're going to say they're going to win in cover then over Georgia State.
Yeah, I think so. And I can tell you why. It's because I think that at least for last week, Georgia State wasn't quite as explosive an offense as they were last year. I think they really missed Nick Arbuckle to start with. Because, you know, the guy they replaced him with, Connor Manning, he, you know, completed about 2/3 of his passes against Ball State last weekend. But he only did it for 163 yards. And he only found, you know, I mean, he found a few big plays, but there were a lot of short completions as well. So, you know, maybe he was efficient, but he wasn't quite as explosive as maybe Panthers fans were accustomed to. And the Cardinals were really able to make them one-dimensional last week, too. You know, they only averaged 3 yards a 3 yards a carry. And that's, you know, that's kind of the Air Force recipe for success, is to be able to force teams to make plays in the passing game and then punish those mistakes when they're made.
Very true. And then the pass, the, like, people kind of complained. I didn't realize this during the game because, again, it's hard to watch every game. We try to, but Air Force is missing one of their top defensive backs in the game. The other, all, was it Lapido, I believe?
Yeah.
He was out last game. And so people are like, why is Abilene Christian scoring and throwing through the air? Well, you're losing all conference defensive back. It's going to hurt you. And he's expected to be back from his injury in this game. And so, obviously, this is a much tougher passing defense they're facing than Ball State. You know, so if he's back healthy with Weston Stillhammer and everything else, the defense should take a big step forward. And I expect a bigger one this week than they did last week against Abilene Christian. Because what was it, 36-21 last week?
I believe so, yes.
So we don't need to spend too much time in this game, but even if Georgia State's QB plays better, he's going up against a much better defense, and Connor Manny may not see the results to improve, even though if he may be a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of matchup where Air Force should be able to probably set their season high in rushing yards. Like, if they
I just noticing that what Ball State did last week.
Yeah, like if they aren't able to average like 6 yards a carry and rack up like 400 yards on the ground, then something went wrong. But I would expect them to win big in this game.
And apparently, Air Force's fullback wants to improve mightily over game one to game two. So, and also, who's the player? Shoot, I should know this guy's name. Well, no, it's he plays wide. Oh gosh, I should know these names, but there's so many dang teams we discuss. The receiver who played running back last week, essentially for Air Force, he had a couple of ground touchdowns.
Ryan Reffitt.
Yes, Ryan Reffitt, I believe. Moving to that. Do you remember the not Chad Lewis? He played for the Eagles. Chad Hall. I think he also played for the Eagles, where he. He's about almost a decade ago was basically, I think his Mountain West player of the year, where he basically returned kicks, returned punts, like the Z-back, wide receiver, running back, jet sweep type of guy. Yeah, it is Ryan Reffitt. He could be, look for him to do some big things on the ground. That's just another dimension to the running game that they have where, yes, he had all those rushing yards, but he's actually a receiver. So just a guy to look out for. Next game. Hey, this is on NBC, man. Nevada at Notre Dame.
That's going to be a really tall task for the Wolfpack.
28-point favorite for the Irish.
That's it?
You thought it'd be more?
I thought it would be because, you know, A, because Nevada just barely got by Cal Poly. And B, they're facing probably the most motivated team you can imagine. Notre Dame,
the way they lose, yeah.
They should have won that game against Texas, and they didn't. And they're going to be out for blood. You know,
they gave up an extra point for 2 points the other way. That never happens. Did they recover that?
They recovered that.
No, never mind. My fault. I was watching that game on mute, so I remember a lot of points later on. So I think I was actually recording and watching it last week, so apologize for that error, but... Regardless, I don't know how great Texas is, but you're correct about motivation-wise.
Yeah, and I mean, it was an offense that showed a great deal of explosiveness, too. I think DeShone Kizer, if I'm not mistaken, is like currently the third highest-rated quarterback in the country.
Could be. They still have it listed on the depth chart. It's still Kizer or Malik Zaire. Mm-hmm. And so the way... Brian Kelly was switching guys around. It's kind of frustrating. We have two QBs. Like, this is the one way Nevada might have a chance is if one of the other Kizer or Zaire, they stick to their game plan and both QBs struggle. That could be a way they stick in the game, but I don't really see that being too much of an issue. I think they'll both be fine. I'm just trying to think of a way where Nevada could keep it close and keep it interesting and maybe do that couple with like James Butler big on the ground game or something like that, but it's gonna be a tough one for them.
Yeah, I mean, I keep harping on big plays, but I think that's really gonna be the key for this Nevada team because honestly, I think the only way they win is if they win a track meet, if they can score points almost at will. And against Cal Poly, that wasn't really something that you saw a lot of. I'm trying to look up these figures real quick. You know,
they stalled, though. Like, they were up 14-0, 14-7. Then they didn't score any points, I think, until the fourth quarter when they got the that's the only points they scored in the second half, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They just look, because I remember I was joking because Colorado State got worked. I'm like, hey, at least Nevada's doing well. And then they go to freaking overtime versus Cal Poly against the Mustangs there. Yeah, they scored 6 points all in the fourth overtime. They scored nothing until, I erred on that. Sorry. 24-10 to half. Nevada didn't score until overtime. So they're shut out in the second half against an FCS team.
Yeah, and it was an FCS team that we really kind of ran the ball, right?
Yeah, they do a triple option.
Yeah, so how many yards did they give up in that game? They gave up 383 yards, over 5.4 yards per carry. I don't know that that's necessarily Notre Dame's strength running the football.
They have co-starters at running back right now.
Yeah, and I mean they may be missing Torrey Hunter Jr. to concussion, based on how the protocol goes throughout this week. But even so, I think, Kizer by far is the best quarterback they're going to play all year long. And I think he's going to give them a lot of problems.
Hold on. Better than Christian Chapman?
Yes.
I'm kidding. Sorry. Had to go there. Just for the reference, Hunter's listed as a starter right now for Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think they're still kind of waiting and seeing what... Yeah, because I mean, the other thing too is what kind of an offense gives up 8 tackles for loss to Cal Poly?
Not a good one.
not a terribly efficient one is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that they're really going to have to correct as well.
I don't know what they're going to do, because here's the thing: we're going to keep positive here and try to see what they could do. James Butler needs to have a big game. Like versus Cal Poly, he did well. 123 yards, a pair of touchdowns, albeit if you take away 50-yard touchdown in the first quarter, it's pretty much shut down after that run, which would make him about 20 for about 73 yards, which is not that great. They need him to run well. And then apparently, like, I was chatting with Chris Murray from the Reno Gazette during the game, like, where the heck is Sean Henderson? Because we had him all high on our list of top 50 in the season. I think I had him for myself top 15. Apparently he's been outplayed. List as a backup, had one catch for 3 yards. But part of it was that they have a lot of depth at receiving, whether it be like Jericho Richardson did well. He got 4 passes. They spread the ball out pretty well. So if somehow that Nevada can do that again, where they find 6 to 10 different guys catching the ball, Tyler Stewart was efficient, 17-23. Yardage-wise, wasn't there under 200. But if he can swing the ball to multiple guys, and then Butler can get maybe 100 yards or so, it could be interesting. But I think the defense is where Nevada, losing Ian Sale and others, those are pretty big losses, and Notre Dame's probably just going to, was it 28 points we said?
Yeah, I think so.
That's still too many, man. That's a lot of points.
I don't like this matchup for Nevada at all.
I think I'm switching up and going with you, saying they're going to lose big time, unfortunately.
Yeah, because I mean, I think in order to keep it close, I think Tyler Stewart's going to have a good a big game. You're talking about James Butler having a big game. I think he's likely to get his regardless.
Me too. Yeah.
I think Tyler Stewart's going to have to find a way to get to 300 yards passing, which he's never done before.
Never?
And I don't think he's going to be able to do it, because I think that they need to find big plays through the air. And I said in the season preview, and I'll say it again, I don't know that they have this kind of explosiveness on the offensive side. And that's a really bad matchup against a team like Notre Dame.
I thought they might with Richardson and Henderson, but I guess not, so... All right, let's move on to next game. We got 12 games here, so we'll kind of go through these quickly. Next game, UTSA, potential Mountain West member, UTSA?
Maybe.
Just saying. They are taking on Colorado State.
What happened in that game?
I watched a good amount of that game. Just for the record, Rams are somehow a 10-point favorite. Yes, not a misprint, okay. So there's that. Nick Stevens, who you and me said, he's a starter, he's great, he'll be good. Well, maybe not great, but he led the Mountain West in touchdowns. Second team all-conference QB last year. I chat with Matt Stevens of the Colorado before the game. Like, hey, is it really Stevens, or are they going to really do something else? He's like 99.999999% sure Stevens. Who it was. Then he goes, does what he did against Colorado. And I don't think Colorado's going to be all that amazing this year either, and they get smoked by them. Couldn't move the ball, couldn't find anything. Fountain Bata, who got in late in the game, drove for the only touchdown. He was listed, named a starter during the press conference earlier in the week, so he's the guy. But Colorado State could do nothing right in that game. Like, they went, I think their first four possessions were three and out, I believe.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, they didn't have a drive of more than five plays or 28 yards, I think, in that first half. So, I mean, the only thing I can really contribute to this conversation is someone who's watched quarterback controversies in the last couple of years.
You are very familiar with that.
Yeah, Colorado State fans, y'all are treading on very dangerous ground right now. Like, I hope if Mike Bobo makes that switch, which he has, I guess, I sincerely hope that he sticks with it, because he brought this guy in for a reason, which you and Chris talked about at length throughout the offseason. So if that's the case, if he struggles against UTSA, I hope you give him the chance to work through it. Otherwise, it could turn into a really ugly situation in a hurry.
Yeah, he went, like, Stevens was 6 of 20 for 31 yards. Bauta was 6 of 9 for 32 yards.
Not great.
Not great. He led him for a touchdown. I think he actually came in early for some reason, but he didn't stick around. He did like one drive, I want to say. I'm going to find it right here really quick. It was one of the many punts, so pick your favorite punt on there you want to go with. But I want to say he came in the first quarter. Yeah, he came in, like, it was 14-0. He came in. He was 1 for 2 for 2 yards. But then he got replaced. I'm not sure I don't remember because I had on mute if there was an injury issue or anything, but Nick Stevens came right back in, but when Bauta came in late in the game, he drove for a touchdown. So you don't want a quick trigger, because that's an issue you don't want to have, because we've seen that at Hawaii, Fresno State, multiple schools in the conference the past couple years. That's why we came up with the quarterback, New Mexico. Teams like that going through multiple QBs and not sticking with the guy for whatever reason. I think they're going to stick with Bauta, but the weird thing is, here's the thing. I will guarantee this right now, and I will put anything on the line that if Bauta is a starter and remains a starter, two things. He'll either remain the starter. If he's not the starter, they're going to Colin Hill, and then Stevens will be a future former Colorado State Ram before January, if that happens. Because I don't see how they can go back to Nick Stevens really at this point.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll see. In the meantime, though, they're going to have to contend with a Roadrunner team that was pretty solid last week, even if they weren't necessarily spectacular. You know, there was, I talked with, you know, Jared, who I believe he covers UTSA over at Underdog Dynasty. I follow him on Twitter. And I think he was kind of pleased that they were able to settle their own quarterback situation. They had a guy last week, Dalton Sturm, who was 20 of 25, 274 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception against Alabama State. You know, it was the kind of quarterback situation that worked itself out pretty nicely. And last week, this defense was really exposed by Sefo Liufau. Are they going to be able to rebound? I think is kind of the storyline to watch in this game.
I know Sefo, he's gotten much better the past couple years. And last year, Colorado was a team that got better as, like, they were, like we joked, like the UNLV kind of, where instead of getting blown out, they're losing close games. He actually, if you look at the quarterback situation in the Pac-12 South, he honestly could be after Josh Rosen, he could be the second best. And New Solomon's nothing special at Arizona. I don't recall who Arizona State has, I want to say, but Sefo could be like the second best QB in the Pac-12 South. Because Utah has a new QB. They have Troy Williams from Washington. Didn't look, he might be okay, but after experiencing who's coming in and who's playing, because, yeah, USC, I don't trust their quarterback. So, as for UTSA, they didn't score enough points for my liking against an Alabama State team who, they're an HBCU school, and I think they're not one of the better ones either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about Alabama State.
Game just seemed kind of boring a little bit to me. 26-13. Well, not boring, but UTSA was efficient. They scored every quarter. They ran the ball okay. Like, they just were like I said, efficient. They were quality with the way they played. Like almost 5 yards a carry. They passed the ball to what, a dozen guys, like Shaq Williams and Marquise McNair had 3 catches each. I don't know. It's hard. When you play an FCS team, what do we really know? You know what I mean? Like Utah State, they ran wild on Weber State, but great, it's Weber State.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, I think we all had at least a little bit of concern about Colorado State's reloading defense. And like I said, you know, they kind of got exposed a little bit against Colorado. So are they going to be able to rebound in time? And one of the things I noticed is that, you know, they had Kevin Davis, who racked up 19 tackles last Saturday. You know, while that's a kind of an impressive individual effort, I'm pretty sure that's the kind of thing they'd rather avoid.
Yeah.
By, you know, finding guys who can make stops up front, which they really weren't able to do last week.
Let's have 3 guys get 7 tackles each, not 1 guy for 19. And yeah. Also the running game too.
Yeah, because I mean they did force 4 tackles for loss last week, but they also allowed a fair amount of big plays. So
yeah, too many big plays. But sorry, I stepped one step too further too quickly. But running game, I thought Izzy Matthews was start up. They had Dalen Dawkins there, but the running game did nothing as well. I don't know. Maybe just a reset game. They need just not to blow everything up, but let's kind of like start over. Because they did nothing right. We figured, a lot of people did, kind of thought outside of like maybe Air Force and San Diego State, or maybe it's just me, but we thought the Rams could have one of the top third running back cores in the conference. And
I still think that's possible because I think that, you know, for the most part, they took care of their quarterbacks. Their quarterbacks just didn't get the job done.
Maybe it's just that you're behind so far and they couldn't have a chance to run the ball because you're losing by so many touchdowns.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, UTSA may not light the world on fire with their pass rush, but they did also rack up 6 sacks last week. So that's something to keep an eye on as well, is, you know, just how much they can disrupt Bauta, especially in the passing game.
And Bauta can run a little bit. He had 4 for 39, 1 long 24-yarder, so he's a little bit mobile. But we'll see. I think, I don't know, I don't... It's such a bad loss. I'm changing my pick from my like kind of the early lines. I'm thinking UTSA could win outright in this game.
Nah, I like Colorado State to rebound and pick up a pretty nice win.
More than 10 points?
I would say right around 10 points.
Close enough. That'll work.
Like let's say 28-14.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we'll head to our next game here and in just a moment, we will. All right, next game. We're back. Texas, San Antonio, like we said, played Colorado State. That's not our next game. We're going to Portland State, San Jose State. My scroller got stuck. Not a TV game at all. Portland State might win this game.
They might if San Jose State can't get this. And get their act together.
You know you're a really bad FCS team if there's no link for your team page on ESPN when I try to click on Portland State.
Really?
Yes, it will not allow me to do so.
I was able to find their game notes just fine.
Yeah, I'm looking somewhere else.
You know, they were a pretty good FCS team last year.
Were they a playoff team last year?
I believe they were. And for those of you who aren't paying attention. Yeah, I think so. But those of you who aren't paying attention to the FCS rankings, they are ranked number 16 right now.
Pretty big deal. You want to know my, I actually am, well, this is kind of cheesy, but their quarterback, Alex Caressa, I actually work with his brother.
Oh, interesting.
He co-hosts our radio show once a week. He always talks about his brother, like, yeah, Alex, he'd be so great. Would have gone to BYU, had to transfer something, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually a pretty good QB, a senior there. But this is not going to be a pushover for the Spartans, if at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing that they're going to have to figure out, which really kind of surprised me in their result against Tulsa, is they didn't run the ball at all. And, you know, if they're going to find a solution to that, it's better to do it now against an FCS team than to try and figure it out later in non-conference play when they're playing teams like Utah and, you know, traveling to Iowa State.
You know, it was more surprising. Billy Freeman didn't even get a target in that game.
Really?
As far as I could tell, No catches for sure.
It says he had two catches.
Wait, did I? Am I blind? What the?
I'm not sure.
Did I give up on that game too early or something? I thought he had no receptions.
Maybe he did because, you know, but, you know, he's the kind of guy that they need to get.
Strike that from the record.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy they need to get more.
Maybe that's what I was referring to. Maybe I was thinking of Jake. I don't, whatever. I'm a dummy. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, he needs to have 6 to 10 receptions every game.
I mean, I don't know about that. I just think they need him to stretch the field. If he can come up with like one 20-yard reception every game, you know, that's the kind of thing that keeps defenses honest.
Oh, he did have 2. I don't know what I was referring to. Maybe I was thinking of somebody else. But
they also need to take care of the football. They lost 3 turnovers against Tulsa, and I'm trying to figure out how many points the Hurricanes turned that into.
At least 14.
But yeah, I mean, you're not going to win very many games by turning the ball over 3 times.
Here's the thing. Portland State's going to run some more. Because San Jose State's rush defense is just awful. Like, Tulsa has one of the best QBs in the country in Dane Evans. They actually held him pretty well, 12 of 23 for not even 200 yards for this offense. However, they gave up over 300 yards on the ground.
It's the same old Achilles heel.
It has been for years. And, like, what's good? Is the pass defense really good? Or are they just allowing teams to run at will? And so I think San Jose State will rebound, but they have a lot of things to work on, like slow down the rush defense, find a running back. Dante Cooper is still listed as the starter this week. I thought there'd be more from, isn't Rashad Johnson the guy who came from Washington for a 7th year of eligibility, I believe? He had one carry for 6 yards. People are expecting big things from him. They just need, honestly, they need, everything needs to improve. Pass defense will be okay, because, yeah, the yardage wasn't there, but if you hold this guy, it was completing over, I think, about 60% to just 12 of 23. You know you're doing one thing right, but Kenny Potter didn't impress me at all, and he's supposed to be one of the best QBs in the conference, or better QBs. He did okay, but they need a running game. They need a rush defense. They need to get Billy Freeman more involved. They need to get go downfield. I guess passing downfield was okay. They had a couple 20-plus yarders, but you said it before. Turnovers, there's a lot of things. There's very few things they did right, and obviously, the negatives outweigh the positives. There's a reason they got blown out by 35 points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is the kind of matchup that San Jose State can take lightly. But, you know, if Kenny Potter can take a slight step forward, I think that can offset whatever issues they may continue to have on the ground. Because I think they still have enough talent in the passing game to be able to, you know, to be able to cover this game pretty easily.
They should. Let's move on to the next game because we're getting a bit too long here. We still have a lot more games left than we need to discuss. New Mexico at New Mexico State, the Rio Grande rivalry. Say that five times fast. It's just like saying the rural juror. for the 5 people who got that 30 Rock reference from a decade ago. 6 p.m. Mountain Time, ESPN3. New Mexico did not play Lamar Jordan last week at all. Part of it was from what Bob Davies said. He said he expects him to see the action, but I guess the reason he didn't play last week was because they wanted Jawan Lawson to come in the blowout. It's better to have the young guy in than, I guess, Jordan, just because it's late in the game and don't want to risk anything. But maybe they don't need either quarterback because Austin Apodaca looked pretty good passing the ball and actually running the ball a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, I think in looking over how the game shook out, they kind of played their ideal game. Like, obviously, it starts with the running game, which ran for well over 400 yards. But Apodaca was, you know, relatively efficient and explosive, which was more than you could say in a lot of games last year. And the defense took the step forward that I think we were all waiting for. You know, they only gave up 9 plays of more than 10 yards, which was better than almost any other defensive effort in the conference last week. And I think that bodes well for this matchup against New Mexico State because, you know, New Mexico State really struggled on offense last week. You know, their quarterback, Tyler Rogers, only completed roughly 40% of his passes. And he was also the team's leading rusher last week. And that's not a great combination for a team with as much upside as New Mexico.
Yeah, it's a couple things with the defense. After the first quarter, they got together because there were some concerns in the first quarter against South Dakota. because it gave up 14 points. But did you notice who New Mexico State was lit up by on the other end passing the ball?
I don't have that in front of me.
They played last week.
I'm trying to remember.
UTEP. Meaning?
Zach Greenley.
229, three touchdowns.
Go figure. But yeah, I mean, I think what this game boils down to is, you know, New Mexico ran for over 400 yards last week. Utah or New Mexico State gave up nearly 300 yards on the ground.
Aaron for the Lobos, Jones that's kind of, had a pretty big game.
Yeah, so I mean, for Tarion Gibson and the rest of the Lobos running backs, this is kind of a match made in heaven. And if they aren't covering whatever the spread is by at least two touchdowns, I'm going to be really
disappointed. It's a 12-point spread there for Lobos.
So then I expect them to fully win by about four touchdowns.
Points. I think you're right, because here's one thing too, because we'll move on quickly, because they should win. Dakota Cox is also Mountain West Player of the Week defensively, so that's something showing the defense is doing good things. The running game, we want to see who's going to take over for carries wise. Yeah, Tarion Gibson, he had the big 84 yarder and kind of took the night off after that, after another touchdown, another big run. But we're like, who's it going to be? Richard McCorry, Tyrone Owens, Daquan Woodhouse. At least the carries number wise, you had McCorley, 13 for 55 and two touchdowns, meaning I think that clearly means he's the number two back. And then probably Tyrone Owens with 10 carries for 48. But then Woodhouse had the big explosive type of play. So I think those are going to be the four guys. And then even Darryl Chestnut, isn't he the fullback, I believe?
I think so.
Running back, 6 for 36. So I know it's South Dakota, but looking at the carries divvied up, they're going to be fine running the ball. And I'm not as confident as you winning by four touchdowns, but I think they could win by, I'll go three touchdowns and be less of a blowout. Next game, UNLV at UCLA. How are the Bruins a 26-point favorite?
Well, they have a pretty good quarterback, don't they?
I thought they did. The Rosen one, is that still his nickname? Is that trademarked yet? Or do we have to give him
a dime for that?
His rich parents probably trademarked that just to protect his future. I think that's way too many points. Yeah, they're playing in the Rose Bowl. They're playing on the road. But you remember last year, UNLV actually kept it close for a half. I think it was only like, I should look it up, but 17-0 at halftime. Something within striking distance for any team. Not wasn't a runaway game.
Yeah, to me, I think what it comes down to is, you know, yeah, last week's win against Jackson State was pretty impressive. But it was Jackson State. You know, that's the kind of team that you should beat pretty convincingly.
As my failed joke probably last week, the best action was halftime with the band.
Yeah, and I mean, the game was over so quickly that, you know, some of the questions I had going into the game, to me, they're still unresolved. Like, obviously, Devontae Boyd had a pretty big game.
Three touchdowns.
But the jury, to me, is kind of still out on the other guys who are in that wide receiver rotation. Well, Darren Woods only had one catch.
There is
Brandon Presley only had one catch.
I got to look. There is one guy out for injury, Tony Sanchez said today. I'll look that up while you keep talking about this.
Yeah. So, I mean, my overall point is that, you know, they handled Jackson State so quickly that I think that question still exists is, you know, are those guys going to be able to step up, especially since now they're going on the road and they're playing a pretty good UCLA team, you know, as opposed to a pretty bad FCS
team. This is what happened
team.
Last year because they played Idaho State, won 8-8. Then they played, I don't remember who they played the week after, but it was either Michigan or UCLA. And so kind of the same scenario.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, and Rosen, you know, they may have lost last week, and I think a lot of it had to do with the turnovers that he had. You know, that's another one of those questions, too, is are they going to be able to force UCLA into turnovers the same way that they did Jackson State? I'm not totally sure.
We'll see. The receiver out, Brandon Presley, he's going to miss the game with a foot injury. And then the reason we didn't see Kurt Ballendyke, he apparently has a shoulder. And I don't know how you get this, but because he threw zero passes, can you explain to me how you get a sore bicep without throwing the football?
practice.
Man, I thought you would say whatever. I thought that would be funnier. That's okay. Maybe I should give up trying to do that part. Presley had one for 14 last week. But it's a debt because they don't have Kendall Keys. Now Presley's out. And if you look at the receiver, I know it's hard to tell Jackson State, but after Devontae Boyd's four receptions, everybody else had one reception. All seven other guys or eight other guys.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they still have Woods listed as a starter, and now they have Mekki Stevenson as the next guy up. Those are two freshmen. You know, I think Darren Woods is a redshirt freshman, but nonetheless, you know, those are guys who are stepping into big roles on a big stage for really the first time ever. And how are those two guys going to play? I'm not totally sure.
In front of dozens of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think I like UNLV to hang around for a little while, but I think UCLA has too much talent to really let this game stay close for too long.
I want to like UNLV more because they showed signs of life for running game. But again, it's hard to tell Jackson State. It's like, come on. That's why it's like, I got to agree with you on that, but I want to be confident saying UNLV can make this a game because they are taking another step forward. Do you think they could keep it within four touchdowns? Because that's basically what the line is at 26.
I think they probably can, we'll
see. Pac-12 Network, 5 p.m. Pacific time there. So if you get that channel, or if you want to DM me or log into your AT&T Uverse, that'd be well appreciated as well so I can watch these games. Next game, Sac State, Fresno State. Really quick, is there an issue at quarterback at Fresno, Matt?
I doubt it. I think Virgil just got a little bit banged up after halftime. And I think he'll probably be fine. There hasn't been any talk of making a switch or anything like that.
Even though Zach Klein looked pretty good when he did get in?
Yeah, I would be very surprised if there were any kind of switch whatsoever. I think the only reason you're likely to see Klein on Saturday is if the Bulldogs get ahead by like four touchdowns after half.
It's going to have a quality backup, so that's where that too. I think he's swinging his shoulder around. Jason was during that game for those couple of at least the early series he came out. But are you expecting a blowout of this game, or like what do you want to see from Fresno State improve, because they played Nebraska, now the competition's like the yin and yang of what they're going up against. What do you want to see your team get accomplished after losing to Nebraska?
Well, I mean, I really want to see them figure out how to run the football. And I think, you know, a game against Sacramento State is kind of the perfect remedy for what ailed them against the Cornhuskers last weekend. And I really want to see them step up against the run at the same time, because they got gashed kind of early, which put them in the hole that they had to rally from before halftime. And then, you know, Nebraska kept coming at them late and they had no answer by the fourth quarter. So if they can keep Sacramento State in check on the ground, which I'm pretty sure they should be able to, they should win this game pretty comfortably.
So really quick, what do you think about I'm looking at the Fresno B. They have a story about the new offensive lineman. Do you think that was an issue last week just because they're, like you have, who is it, Kronk there, going from JUCO at Riverside to nearly 100,000 in Lincoln? Do you think I don't know, he says here, I'm not nervous, I was fine, and all sorts of stuff, but you have young guys on the line. Maybe that's why the running game kind of stalled last week, or what, never really got going?
I think Nebraska just ended up playing a little bit better than I anticipated.
Makes sense. Yeah, they were five. They were what, 6-7? But I think they lost four games by one possession or something last year. So big win for Fresno. Exactly. Let's get the running game going. That's what I want to see as well. And I want to see Virgil, because I think Virgil's the real deal and will be pretty good down the road. And I think this is one of those first games where get a confidence builder to take care of business. Next game. Washington State, two-time FCS losers in consecutive season Cougars there. Coming to the Blue Turf, 8:15 local time, out on ESPN2. Brett Rippon's nephew, a former Cougar great, Mark Rippon, decided to go to the other state school in a different state. And who do you think Washington State would rather have, Luke Falk or Brett Rippon?
Well, I think Luke Falk suits them just fine for the offense that they run. But I also think that Brett Rippon is licking his chops, waiting to get his chance at this defense.
This is a game, not that it's one game makes a season, but Okay, they did play Eastern Washington. They're one of those better FCS teams, but year two they do it. And if Boise wants to get any consideration for like the playoff and like a New Year's Bowl game, they need some SOS to help them out. And people kind of thought Washington State was a dark horse in the North Division of the Pac-12 because it's kind of open, I think. A little bit open. Stanford or Washington, mm-hmm. Oregon are should be pretty good, but Boise could score 60 points. Sorry about that.
Oh yeah. I mean, Washington State gave up 20 plays of more than 10 yards to Eastern Washington last week. And they gave up, you know, 6 plays of more than 20 yards, which was, you know, at least for 1 week, the worst defensive performance in the conference. And
worse than USC? Okay, I'm just making sure because there's 52 points they gave up.
Well, I'm talking about through the air. They gave up 20 plays of more than 10 yards through the air alone. So, you know, I think that's the kind of thing that creates a real big mismatch in Boise State's favor.
Can I go on record and say Thomas Spurbeck might beat Cooper Kupp's passing receiving performance from last week? Do you even know who Cooper Kupp is?
Yes.
The leading receiver for Eastern Washington.
Oh,
206, 3 touchdowns.
I mean, I think, you know, they're still going to have to contend with Falk, who, by the way, completed 80% of his passes last week for over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Boise actually has a defense.
You know, I'll basically.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of one-dimensional and don't really
Here's the issue. Is there an update? I know this might not be coming up now, but we need to discuss how it is. There's an update. Excuse me. Dylan Sumner-Gardner is out for this game, starting safety. This is his game 2 of game 4 suspension. And I know he didn't play a ton last year, so it's not like – I know he's a starter, but it's not like this very experienced guy who they missed because he played only a couple games before, I think, a broken ankle, I believe it was, or some ankle injury. And so he missed most of the, I think the Virginia game, he got hurt and beat up, but he was supposed to be a starter. He's out. That was a concern for this game, but the way how bad Washington State's defense is, it may not matter, but I think Washington will still put up maybe at least 28 points in this game.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just going to be a track meet. I wouldn't be surprised if both these teams score 40 points, but you know, it's the kind of thing where kind of like, hopefully the argument I made last week for San Jose State Tulsa actually works this time around. But if I had to trust one of these defenses to make a stop, it'd be Boise's. So I'm seeing a close game because I see Washington State just throwing the football like they don't care anyway. And I'm thinking like a 48-45 win close? For Boise State.
I think Boise's defense is a little bit better. I know Darian Thompson, Dante Dion are both out, not in the team anymore off the NFL. But, and Kamel Korea is with the Ravens. I think you're right in the amount of points. I think the 12.5 line's a bit too much, but I think Boise should win by maybe just more than a touchdown, which means it's still going to come down to one possession, essentially. I think I'm a little more confident, but I think it's going to be a close one. Because it's Washington State, and if Luke Falk is probably top 5 QBs in the country just for what production wise what he can do. Like I wouldn't be surprised if he were to go 50-60 and throw for 600 yards. That would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, I mean I can't disagree. I think you know, they may run for 50 yards as a team and throw for 500 and still find a way to lose this game.
All right, let's go to the next game. So we're over the hour mark here. Cal at San Diego State. Did you know
the big one?
Our Boise guy was a DB MacGyver. I want to say, is that the guy in the comments who does the charts for us sometimes?
Yes,
he likes to point out. I'm just a messenger, so he can throw rocks at me if you want. San Diego State has only beaten one power conference team essentially ever. 1-15. I want to say what it is. And last year, they're pretty much embarrassed by Cal.
Yeah, I mean, the way you would have expected him to win the game last year is actually they got shut down. I think Donnell Pumphrey had one of his more like forgettable performances of the year. That came late. In 2015. Yeah, and I think it was one of those games that was close at halftime, and then Cal just had more answers in the second half. But, you know, obviously this is an entirely different year. It's a new team. Cal has a new quarterback in Davis Webb. But I think what this game comes down to, again, is, you know, we saw them play Hawaii and we saw them rip off big plays against that Warrior defense. Obviously, the Aztecs defense is significantly better than Hawaii's. But, you know, tackling on the outside against this air raid defense or against this air raid offense, rather, is going to be really crucial to their success.
So what's your main key to the game? Is it, can Christian Chapman throw the ball? Is it disrupting Davis Webb? Because Hawaii, I think we discussed this on our Hawaii recap, that despite them not having a great pass rush and the way Cal wants to pass the ball so quickly, they were able to get in Webb's face occasionally and actually had, I think, at least one interception.
I think to me, I'm trying to choose just one. To me, I think really it just comes down to Donnell Pumphrey having a big game, because I think if he is able to grind clock, you know, that keeps the Cal offense down the field. And, you know, while they may not have the best special teams in the conference, you know, if they can keep, you know, the field position game in their favor and force Cal into long drives to contest the end zone, that I think is a recipe for success.
Completely sense. Just for the record, Aztecs are what, 7.5 to 8 point favorite in this game. This is the game where if they, like, we, not that we joke, but during the offseason, people are like, where's the respect? Where's the respect? We're like, well, you got to earn it, right? This is it, even though
this is
Cal,
it.
They're okay. They're not going to be great this year, but Davis Webb looks pretty good. But it's like with the best examples our guy Ben put out there when Utah State with Chucky Keaton. They were always close. They almost beat Wisconsin. They almost beat Utah. They almost beat BYU. Again, almost, almost, almost. And this is the game where they need to win against Cal. They don't have – the West Division's awful. They don't have many chances to beat good teams. This is – was this probably their best team on the schedule?
They might be, unless something drastically changes, like South Alabama
Matt
keeps
Kennedy
winning.
There, bringing up the Jaguars.
I think the other thing you can be encouraged by is the fact that, you know, the offense looked a little more explosive against New Hampshire than they did at times a lot last year in the passing game, especially. You know, Christian Chapman, who you mentioned a little bit ago, had four passes of more than 20 yards, and we saw Hawaii have their moments in the passing game, even if they weren't terribly efficient throwing the football. And I think San Diego State's the type of team where they can take advantage of Cal mistakes on defense. They can break tackles, I think, on the outside and really, you know, create something out of nothing in that
regard.
That's
the thing. Like we said, like if they could have a passing game, this could be the best. This is, in my opinion, if Aztecs have a passing game, well above average, this is the best team of the conference by far. Because while Boise State will score points, their defense is still lacking due to who they lost last year. And if this passing game gets going, like in our poll, the underdogs poll, I did not rank San Diego State. And I made that clear last week because, same as Air Force, because you play an FCS team and what do I care? You beat up on a patsy, you're fine, you should win. There's no, I can't judge much of anything from that. If they win this game, and even if Boise State wins their game, I might stick as to, it'll be close, but if I see their passing game overly improve and do a similar result at what they did against us in their opener, I'd probably put them as the best team in the Mountain West Conference, number two, or at least above Boise State. Just because that's the one piece they've been missing for since they had Ryan Finley there. You know what I mean? They've had a good QB since him. He stuck with the Cardinals, and Hey, really quick, does CFB stats rank by best long distance passing or something? Like,
they rank by like number.
I'm trying to see what a Max Smith had if he had more than four passing, more than four attempts for 20 yards last year.
that's a good question. He had 67 passes of more than 10 yards last year and 22
passes.
Where'd
you find that?
I was
looking
for it. I didn't
see it. You're pretty quick at this thing.
Yeah, it's
whatever.
Long
I'll follow for
plays,
later.
I'll
talk to
stats.
Offline, but. No. So basically, he had 25% of what Max Smith had last year in one game. So
that's
so,
good,
folks.
It's pretty good jump.
Believe me and listen to me when I said last year, Maxwell Smith was not any good at throwing the ball downfield or not given the chance to be a player who could lead them to victory through the air. Christian Chapman so far, drastic improvement, and we'll see against Cal. So I think, are you going to predict the Aztecs to win this game?
You
don't sound
you know
too
what?
Confident.
I am. No, because I was looking over my preseason Excel sheet, and I had originally had this as a Cal win. But, you know, I think San Diego State's defense, you know, even though the 3-3-5 and the air raid are kind of a strange matchup, I like their defense to be able to keep Cal in check, and I like their offense to be able to take advantage of the defensive liabilities that the Golden Bears are probably going to have.
I'm going with the victory. Aztecs are going to get it done, get over that hump there, and finally say, hey, we can actually beat a team that gets good recruits.
If they win this game and they aren't in the top 25,
it's possible
next week,
because
be really
I think, which is dumb to say, or not dumb, but I forget which pool it is. Had them like, if you count past 25, I think they're put like at 30th or something. I think is the I want to say the AP. Oh. No, coaches poll had them like 30th for some reason. But if they win and Boise State win, I believe they should both be ranked. Final game. You can get your Robert Kekalula fix in if you have access to Time Warner Oceanic, which sadly I do not, which means I probably won't be staying up for this game that kicks at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific. It's not showing here, so I'm going to go with insiders. Negative. Yeah. So they play UT Martin. Here's the thing. They should be fine and win. UT Martin, they actually gave Cincinnati a run for about a quarter and a half, or almost actually 2.5 quarters. But there's some talk that Woosley may not be the QB this week. Because if you saw Drew Brown, I want to say, came in and actually led the team in rushing against Michigan. It's hard to tell. You lose 63-3, you're awful. You lose to Michigan. I thought there was no way that could happen. But Stephen Lakalaka, Paul Harris, St. Juice running the ball, there was nothing going on. So I want to see, probably what you want to see is just a complete beatdown of UT Martin at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to see whoever's at quarterback. Can somebody just get to like 60%?
That might be too much to ask.
Please. It might be, but I think also being at home, especially after the history making travel that they've done in the first couple weeks of the season, is going to make a very big difference, because like we know this team plays differently at home than they do on the road. So, you know, I want to see them take care of business. I want to see them be a little more efficient than they were against Cal. I'm kind of writing off the Michigan game as a, you know, whatever, kind of a, you know, you're traveling east, you're playing a much better team,
and
you're kind of
basically
like
6 a.m. local
basically.
Kickoff because it's a noon Eastern game.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get back to the team,
even
they were
the first half versus
Cal,
that was a pretty good team.
Yeah, they, you know, because they were able to attack the, you know, they were able to attack the quarterback, able to run the football, and they found
a
few plays
accuracy
on the outside in the passing game. And I think if they can show that
they
again,
regardless.
They should win
so right now, Woosley's
easily.
Still the starter, but man, Paul Harris listed as the third running back. Technically, the or were Stephen Lakalaka.
Interesting.
Some schools, I can tell he's a two because some schools go alphabetical for first and second string. If there's like the or position or second or third. And that is not the case because they have a mixture. If you look at the ors on their depth chart, it varies between last name alphabetically and not. So it seems like Lakalaka has the edge over that team or that position. So they should win. They should win big. No more to talk about. Not much more to talk about this game. Any last second ads we need to do or anything we missed on this game? Because apparently we can't keep it short. We're at 90 minutes again. All right, then. That's our show for tonight. These are all Saturday games. So you have plenty of time to listen to the show. Look for news because we did record this Tuesday night. So check out some, like you said, news regarding like USC. Some guys, Juju Smith, could be have some issues there. There could be something with the depth chart at all these various teams, like it. Any of the teams, really. Wyoming, UNLV, Boise State, any team on there. I don't need to pick them out. Also, I feel sorry for Melvin Smith. He got fired for losing to Boise State. That's pretty embarrassing, right? It's only his 13th game as a DC, too. Come on. First game of the year, but hope so. It's tough to lose a job, especially at this point in the year, week one. It's like, come on. The season is just underway. Game one to game two is the biggest jump. Give me the chance to get that jump. But that's it for tonight. MWCConnection.com. Like I said, check the news. We'll have updates. We'll have all the press conferences up by the time you hear this, so you can listen to Mike Bobo, Bob Davey, if he makes a decision on QB, maybe a little more insight on Lamar Jordan, but we'll see. Again, we are on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes. Apologies for those who use Google Play. We're not on that service anymore because we want to know how many people listen, and apparently it only counts for like one listen no matter what, so that's pretty crappy. So get your act together, Google Play. Awesome. Maybe we'll go back there. But if you're an Android user like myself, Stitcher, or better yet, pay the $4 to get Pocket Cast. I like that pretty nicely. You can listen to us in crisp 1.2 speed, which I may not recommend because I know I talk faster than most people probably care for. So 1.2 speed might be gibberish to most people. But that's our show for tonight. Check us out. And again, we're biased against your team, but we'll have another fun week. And check out the game.